reading from James chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, and then maybe reading down to verse 17. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go and do this or that, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 11th, 2021. Wow, Jason, this is a big section of scripture with many points of application and thoughts to talk about. So how about praying up this program, and let's ask God to reveal truth and insights into how this can affect our Christian walk, our life testimony, and help us understand his heart for why he wants us to be holy and set apart and cognizant of him in all things.
Father, we just ask right now for the wisdom and the clarity that you give us through your word, that you give us through scripture. And Father, we know that the Holy Spirit can take these words that are on this page, these words that we hear, and you can sow them into our hearts in such a way that they actually affect the way that we live and the way that we move and the way that we love and encourage and the way we react to antagonism and frustrating situations. And Father, it's the way that we love one another, the way that we treat our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And so, Father, I pray that as James probably prayed as he was penning this word, that the work of your Spirit would take the word and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I was thinking the other day, Mark, and somebody brought it up to me again. I heard somebody using the phrase, and it appears in a number of the Gospels, but they use the phrase, the verse, that says, don't judge. And I think that that verse, Luke 6:37 has it. It's in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. It's one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. In fact, it's one of the most misunderstood three words in the Bible, do not judge. I know a lot of non-Christians, they like to use that as a weapon against Christians. When Christians quote scripture, they say, well, hey, don't judge. You're not supposed to judge. Why are you judging? Why are you so judgmental? And I also know Christians who oftentimes use it improperly. And so we need some clarity around that, because that verse actually has a lot to do with how we interact with one another. You know, James tells us here to not speak evil against the brothers. As one speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother, speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And now, what does it mean when he says a doer of the law? When we talk about that, we're going to be talking about the royal law. Now, what is the royal law? The royal law in Scripture is that we would love one another. That's the law that transcends all other laws. Folks would say, yeah, but I mean, we should judge the world. Well, actually, the Bible tells us in Corinthians that we're not to judge those outside the church. We're to judge those inside the church, and those outside the church, God will judge. We're supposed to trust his divine judgment, and then in that, we're supposed to limit our earthly human judgment. Why? Because our human earthly judgment is sometimes not always informed by Scripture. It's not always peppered by divine wisdom. Instead, it's by our own opinions, our own actions, and our own frustrations oftentimes. And so we have to be very careful, because a lot of what James is talking about here is us doing what God calls us to do and then trusting God in the midst of doing that. You know, it reminds me of the psalm where Asaph goes to the temple and he prays to God and he says, God, I almost slipped. I'm looking all around. I'm paraphrasing now. He says, I'm looking all around the countryside, the town, and in our community, And all these evil people keep getting away with evil things. Why is that? And you can feel the psalmist's frustration in the psalm. I believe it's Psalm 79. And then he said, and then I went to the temple. And the implication of, and then I went to the temple is, and then I went into the presence of God and realized that God's got this all under control.
Mm-hmm.
That my frustrations never supersede my trust that God is sovereign and he is divinely in control. And so James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17 that you read actually make the distinction between proper and improper judging. It actually is a great tool for us to understand Luke 6:37 and Matthew from the Sermon on the Mount where it talks about judging. And so let's begin with what improper judging is. Improper judging makes me the judge or you, the listener, the judge. But here's the problem. You're not the judge. You're not the judge. When Jesus says, don't judge, what he's saying is he's saying you're not the judge. He's trying to say don't supersede your role. Because oftentimes that's what we do. We want to impose ourselves upon Scripture, impose ourselves in Scripture, and impose ourselves even in front of the sovereign will of God, as if we know better. And so when the Bible says, do not judge or judge not, when James says that here, he's saying, listen, don't be the judge because there already is one. And you need to stop trying to take that role. It reminds me of that quote from Voltaire who said, in the beginning, God created man, and ever since, man's been trying to return the favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want a righteous judge, but the problem is that we want it to be us. And we are, at best, Isaiah says, unrighteous.
Yeah.
Apart from the Spirit, apart from all of that, we are. And listen, some people would then say, yeah, but I'm operating in the Spirit. Okay, if you're operating in the Spirit, then you would order your spiritual life properly, and you would see, understand, and know without a doubt that God is the only judge. You can't say, well, I'm judging, but I'm doing that in the Spirit, because the Spirit would lead you to order your spiritual understanding and spiritual life properly. And so there is no judge but God himself. There is only one judge, and that's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we are the judge. We're making conclusions based on our own opinions, our own frustrations, our own limited information. I mean, if you had to get information to make a decision, would you want information that is based on this moment right here and maybe even some kind of jaded past? Or would you want information from the one that is omniscient, the one who knows the past, present, and future, the one who sees all things at one time? And that's God. And so it's improper for us to set ourselves up as judge and make conclusions based on our opinions, on our frustrations, on our limited understanding. And we have to be really careful about this, because our opinions, our frustrations, and our limited understandings can actually become the standard from which we live. That can become how we see things and how we tell other people that they should see things. And listen, 2020 has been a great example, a great sermon illustration of this, hasn't it? I mean, people who say, well, you should do this, or you should do this, or you should do this. And I'm like, wow, is that biblically informed?
Hmm.
Are we trusting in God? I mean, that sounds like a very human standard. That doesn't sound like a divine standard. But when we operate under our own limited human standard, we set ourselves up against God. And by the way, James says here, we sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
The sin of that is pride, putting ourselves above and before God. And so when we set ourselves up as the judge, when we become the judge, we become the judge of the law, which means what James is trying to say is we take Scripture and we twist it to our own standard. We twist it to our own reading. Have you ever done that, Mark?
Yeah.
Been frustrated about something, read the Bible, and said, that's what it says. It says what I say. And then later on go, oh, it doesn't say that.
Or I find myself holding them up to the standard. Yeah, you should not lie. You should not deceive. You should not slander. And yet, am I doing those same things? But I give myself a lot of tolerance or leeway.
Sure. Well, and listen, non-Christians use the verse, do not judge, improperly. And Christians use the verse improperly. And they do it because they're using the verse to their own standard, not to the divine standard. I have rarely heard somebody say, do not judge, and that means that you're not the judge. I've rarely heard people say that. I've heard them say, do not judge because you don't have the right to tell me how to live. Or I've heard people say, do not judge because What that means is actually those who are judged, we can make a judgment because we're willing to stand before Christ. Both of those are some biblical gymnastics that are unbiblical. When it says do not judge, it means do not set yourselves up as the judge. And so what happens, like I said, in the improper judging is we take our standard, our limited standard, framed by frustration, irritation, all of those kinds of things, and we interpret Scripture through that. And what we actually do is we become a judge of the law rather than a doer of the law. We become a judge of the word, not a doer of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not operating in the Spirit because the Spirit would have us read Scripture in a very specific way. When Jesus was in the upper room, he said that he will lead you to all truth. And we're not being led to truth when we allow our standard to get in the way. We stop following God's law and we begin to follow our own. And so James frames this judging in a certain way. He says the first thing we do is we judge our brothers. You know, he says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So the first example James gives us is how we treat our brothers. James says, don't speak evil of a brother. And speaking evil of a brother includes slander and gossip, or repeatedly pointing out their faults, repeatedly trying to shame them or guilt them. It involves speaking death into their lives instead of speaking life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting that Paul writes to Timothy, and Paul tells Timothy that the way that people are going to repent and the way that people are going to see God is through gentle correction. And I've been in some Christian circles where gentle correction happens, but I've been in a lot more situations where there is a condemning correction that is happening. It's not gentle, and it's not biblical. Paul never writes to Timothy and says to Timothy, you know what you need to do to those people who don't believe? Just condemn the heck out of them, because that always works. It doesn't work. I have yet to see anybody who is condemned or shamed into the kingdom of God. Now you can get somebody to cower. You know, listen, you yell loud enough at an animal, it cowers. But I don't know how you show the love of Christ in that. I just don't. And so James says that, listen, speaking evil in your brothers, it includes slander and gossip, repeating their faults. And we need to repent of and resist the temptation to criticize and find fault in our fellow Christian brothers. And listen, we're really good at that. We just need to own that as Christians, that oftentimes we're really good at shooting sheep. You know, we say we're shooting wolves, but we're really shooting sheep. And we need to be very, very careful of that. Because, listen, they have a judge already, and that judge is God. They have a Holy Spirit who hopefully is convicting them of the things they're doing. And if not, you walk alongside those brothers and those sisters with gentleness. There is a difference in coming and saying, you know, man, I love you so much, and I'm seeing this thing that's happening, and it bothers me because I know all that you can be. That sounds a whole lot different than, I can't believe you're doing that again.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've done that again. Well, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God changes your heart because you're horrible.
Jeez.
And I've heard people say these kinds of things.
Aren't we known, or isn't there that expression, Christians are, we're known because we shoot our wounded?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's an expression that's been used to criticize the Christian folks. That's not a good way to say it. Mm. And the Bible, Jesus says, we're to be known as his disciples because we love one another.
Yeah.
Like the most astounding thing about the church, the most known thing about the church to the culture at large is supposed to be the way that we love one another.
Yeah.
And yet that's not what we're known for. We're known for our judgment, for our condemnation, for our shaming and our guilt. We're known for those kinds of things. We're known for our biting tongue, our wit. Listen, I've seen people, I've been in conferences, and I have been guilty of clapping and cheering as a Christian giving a message slanders somebody else. But they do it in such a slick and biting and witty way. Well, I don't know how that's helpful. I don't know how that's helpful at all. And so we need to be careful about imposing our own standards upon people. And we need to be careful about how we interact with one another because we're called to love one another. We're called to move towards repentance and towards life change with gentleness. And we really need to take the whole of Scripture and not just cherry pick what Scripture we like You know, somebody pointed out to me the other day, and it was very interesting. They say, listen, you say we should do this, this, and this. But have you ever read Titus 3:10, which says warn the divisive person once and then warn them a second time, and after that have nothing to do with them?
Mm.
Titus tells us, if you have a person in your midst who is divisive, who is consistently divisive, that you're not supposed to have anything to do with them. And then there's Christians who would go, well, that's not graceful. No, no, it's biblical. It's biblical. You know why? Because it's not your job to change them. It's God's. And some people are longer projects, and God will take care of that. And so James talks about the law here. And when he talks about the law, he's talking about the royal law, which I told you already is based on love. In fact, he tells us that in chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the law here James is talking about is loving one another. Listen, we're commanded to love our brothers and sisters. We don't necessarily have to like them.
Yeah.
But we're commanded to love them. You know, one of the most compelling scriptures for me, and it confronts me a lot. And it was funny because we had a young man over who kind of likes my daughter. So we said, well, we better have this boy over for dinner. and so he came over for dinner. And I asked him during dinner, I said, do you have a life verse? What's your life verse? So he shared his life verse. And everybody kind of went around the table and shared their life verses. And my son, who's 15, said, my life verse is 1 John 4:19-21. And I said, wow, that is the verse that just gets me every time.
Hmm.
So this one. We love because he first loved us. So that properly orders our world, right? We love because God first loved. Our standard of how to do things is God's standard of how to do things. Did God condemn and judge? Yeah. But then he placed himself in the path of all of that in Christ and shed his blood upon the cross for the forgiveness of sins. So we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar.
Hmm.
I mean, listen, I didn't say that. Like, I didn't make that up. That came from the Bible.
Yeah.
Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. I think about all the times that I have said, Mark, just, you know, and I just want to be honest. You know, I'm in a season of my life, and I'm not even just a season, where I'm just like, I'm tired of playing the game. Like, I just want to be real and tell the truth. And the truth is this, that as a Christian, I have many times looked at somebody and said, man, I hate them. And then turned around and went, Lord, I love you so much.
Hmm.
And you know what that made me? A liar. And I want to be the first to admit that because I've been in a lot of places where a lot of people have said that. I hate that guy. I hate that person. And then turned around and went, hallelujah, Jesus.
Hmm.
Wait a second. There's a problem here. So James is trying to talk about the fact that the importance of love, that love is the most important thing. And when we speak evil of our brothers and sisters, when we slander, gossip, and we repeatedly criticize them, we guilt them, we shame them, we point out their faults, we're not loving them because no one is perfect. You and I both have faults. We have tons of them. You know, the Bible even says if God was to keep account of all your faults, oh, man, it would be a real problem. And yet he doesn't. So why should we? Why should we? Instead, we speak words of life and affirmation and encouragement into people and at times gentle correction, but we're always doing so is to try and draw the best out of them, that which we know is inside of them, that God sees inside of them. When we're operating in the spirit, we look at our brothers and sisters and we see the best of them, not the worst of them. You know, I know when I'm loving my wife in the spirit because I don't want to nitpick. And I know when I'm trying to love my wife outside the spirit because I'm picky. I'm looking for everything she's doing wrong. I'm trying to criticize her. You know, this dinner is really good, honey, but right away when I say this is really good, but I know I'm not operating in the spirit because the spirit would go, you know what? The meatloaf's a little dry, but man, she made it for you, you know? And so maybe for somebody listening to this right now, this is difficult words. This is hard words. Well, James was delivering hard and difficult words, but he did so in such a kind way. He could have come out and said, listen, all you silly people, I can't believe how you're screwing this up. But he didn't say that. He said, listen, stop talking so bad about your brothers and remember that God loved you first. He loved you foremost. And that is the love that you're supposed to overflow into the lives of others, even those who you don't like. Don't you remember when God wrote in scripture that while you were still the enemy, his enemy, Christ died for you? And so maybe you need to sacrifice yourself on the altar of your own pride so that you can love somebody that you don't really like that much.
Mm.
And in that, show them what Jesus looks like. Show the world what Jesus looks like. I think that's why Jesus said, they'll know you are my disciples by your love, because they'll see you laying your life down for people you don't even like, and they'll be like, what? Why did they do that? Like, that's not how people act. In this moment, what you should be doing is you should be dragging out all of that slander and all of that antagonism and using it just to get them. And yet that's not what you're supposed to do. Last but not least, we just have a minute or so left. James says, don't judge your future. He talks about, listen, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. You don't need to boast about tomorrow. What you need to do is worry about today and trust God for tomorrow. The one of the ways that we improperly judge is that when we try and make judgments about tomorrow, about next week, about that, and James says, listen, you're a mist and a vapor. You don't understand how fleeting your own life is. And so you need to trust God. Trust God today in loving your brother. Trust God for your tomorrow. Trust God in everything. And in doing that, be known for your love. You know, fellow Christians, and I'm speaking to you right now, I don't care what stripe you're from. I don't care if you're Baptist or you're Methodist or you're Catholic. I don't care where you come from. We're not enemies. We're brothers. And we might not agree on everything, and we might see things differently, but I guarantee you when we all get to the place where we stand before Jesus, we're all going to realize we got a few things wrong. And right now we have such an opportunity to love one another deeply, as the Bible calls us, because loving one another deeply is the only thing the Bible says covers over a multitude of sins.
There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And I love the part, there's only one to save. That's who we should be talking about, sharing about, proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that can save. All right, listening friends, it's Friday. Sunday's coming. Be in your church. Honor your pastor. Pray him up. Oh, and by the way, Monday and Tuesday, Lord willing, we're taking a couple-day vacation. And so I'm going to re-air Bob Dickey's messages for memorization Monday and his testimony Tuesday because it was so powerful. So if you missed it last week, be sure to tune in Monday and Tuesday. Or if you heard it, I think you'll be blessed by hearing it again. That'll give me a little margin in my life to not press and try to have everything done that day when we return late Monday night. So anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.